Welcome back to the Cover Zero podcast. It is our week two preview show. We have made it to the second week of the 2023 NFL season. I am your host tonight, Jordan, also known as J-Rob, Mr. All 22, joined by Jay, my fellow brethren, sitting here tonight, redded out in that bling bling and silver logo.
Is it glistening too much, bro? Is it glistening too much, man?
Hey, man, hey. I will never, ever try to dwindle the Raiders shine. You keep that going.
Okay, for sure. That makes sense, man.
Yep.
I'm doing great, though, bro. Doing great. Ready for week two. You know what I'm saying? Whole bunch of good games we got to get into. You know, excited, obviously, for our squad to see what we can do in week two. So, yeah, I'm excited, man. I'm excited. It's football season, man. This is what we was waiting on, man. We was waiting on this. So, it's here.
It's here. It's arrived. We are here. We have arrived, and we're going to start right off with the four games that we have this week coming to you. Let's get right into the game previews. First, we're going to kick it off with the Raiders at the Bills. One of the largest lines of the weekend coming into this one as the Raiders travel over to Buffalo. The line right now is Bills minus 9.5. 47 is the over and under as we currently sit at this. Obviously, everyone saw that Monday night game. The things that kind of stole the show was the Aaron Rodgers injury. Very unfortunate to see him go down with the Achilles. And that kind of stole the show a little bit, as I was talking about, because Josh Allen had a bad game.
Yeah, but people talked about it, though. People talked about Josh Allen. Although Aaron Rodgers stole the show, the whole situation, Josh Allen got talked about a lot, bro.
He did.
And he's still getting talked about.
Still getting talked about.
That's why it's one of the games we cover.
Yeah. He got talked about once, twice, three times, four times. No, that was how many times he turned the ball over on Monday night. So that's kind of really where it starts right now. Let's start. When we look at this game, what our expectations are, Jay, I'm going to swing it over to you first. What Josh Allen do we see going into this game? Now, he talked a lot about in the offseason how he's going to dial it back. He's going to play responsible. We're looking at a Josh Allen who's 0-1. This Bills team now, the last two times we've seen them take the field, they have lost they have lost when they were in the playoffs, and they obviously lost week one. What type of player, what type of quarterback are we going to see from Josh Allen when we go into this game on Sunday?
Well, see, that's the thing. I don't think we really know. He's been inconsistent. You know, and shout out CJ, man. My dog, bro.
SSF. El Jefe.
Yes, sir. You know, he brought up a good statistic, man. He was talking about it. The last 19 games, he's had 20 interceptions and 17 fumbles, bro. Woo. Like, you don't really know what you're going to get from Josh Allen. And that's the thing. That's why us Raider fans feel like, okay, we got a shot. Because you get a Josh Allen that sometimes he's going to hit on some of those deep throws. He's going to hit on some of those deep throws, but then he's going to overthrow at times on those deep throws, you know. And I'm glad he owned up to it because we've seen it versus the Jets. I mean, it wasn't just the fumbles. It was he threw to Whitehead. Whitehead ain't had three interceptions in a year.
He had three the whole season last year.
I don't think he had three, bro. He didn't.
That, it might be true. It was either two or three the whole season.
He had three in one game, bro. That's the most he's had in a season.
Yeah. I think that's the right. That sounds right.
I mean, Josh Allen, bro, and to just answer your question, you just don't know what you're really going to get from him. You just don't know, bro. And that's the thing. Like, I mean, you can get that Josh Allen that's on fire. I'm expecting the Josh Allen to be accurate in this game.
Me too.
Because, I mean, the Bills is still elite team. You know, he's still elite quarterback, in my opinion. He's still top five.
Right.
You know, he's still got the wide receivers out there. You know, I love seeing Stephon Diggs. You've seen how Stephon Diggs was talking to him on the sidelines, like, you know, calm down, everything going to be all right. And then right after that, he got smacked and ended up fumbling the ball. You know, but at the end of the day, you've seen his wide receiver, his number one wide receiver, go up and talk to him and try to calm him down. And I'm sure the coaches, the players, they've been doing that all week. And they're going to be at home. So I'm expecting him to play better, but I wouldn't put no money on it.
I'm with you on that one.
I'm a betting man. I love putting money on. I wouldn't put money on this one. I'm not sure what I'm going to get, bro.
Yeah. No, I think we do get an angry Josh Allen. I think we get a motivated Josh Allen. And especially when you also consider a part of this Raiders secondary, something that we were talking about while the game was going on last week when the Raiders were taking on the Broncos. The safeties for the Raiders didn't have the best game coverage-wise. last week. And that's kind of putting it lightly, to be
honest. That's very lightly, bro.
That's putting it lightly. I mean, it was a concern going into the season for me in particular, like the Marcus Epps signing we had talked about in the offseason, what he brings as a tackler, that was still on display. Also with Merrick, too, he had some nice tackles in that Denver game, being able to fit the run and fill in into limiting like yards after catch and that sort of thing. But when it comes to the different types of coverages that this team is going to deploy and what they ask from their safeties, what a lot of teams will ask from the safeties in the NFL, when it comes to covering these offensive passing attacks that have firepower like the Bills do, that kind of gives me some pause. And as Raider fans sitting here, that gives me hesitation. Looking at the other parts of the secondary, though, Jacorian Bennett had a pretty solid game, especially considering as a rook. Like the two PI calls bullshit that we talked about, that, I mean, look, you're going to get bad calls. Yeah, you're going to get bad calls in the NFL. And he didn't let that really derail his game. He still was on point. He was still mixing it up in there. I really like what I saw from him. That also allowed the Raiders to particularly specifically put Nate Hobbs in the slot the whole game. And it didn't require him to go outside, which is that is where Nate Hobbs is Hobbs.
I agree. That's, we've got to look at it, too. He's healthy.
Mm-hmm.
See, remember, because when they put him back into the slot last year, he was dealing with an arm injury.
Arm injury, yeah.
You know, so even when he came back into his natural position, he wasn't really playing that well.
Right.
You know, and it was upsetting for Raider fans, but you had to understand that he was still recovering. He wanted to be out there for his team. He was playing with a cast on his arm.
He was.
You know, so, I mean, it's a little bit tough, but, yeah, he's healthy. I think that's the most key thing right there for him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then just having that support on the outside is big. So that's something I'm really going to keep an eye on, just how when we get into certain zone coverages, Diggs lines up a lot of different places, primarily on the outside. You will see him in the slot probably about like 30%-ish of the time, somewhere around that nature. But he runs everything on the route tree. They put him in option routes, and there's going to be plays where him, Gabe Davis, maybe even a Dalton Kincaid get matched up on the Raiders safeties, and they're going to be put in positions of conflict, and whether or not they step up is going to be key in this game. To move it beyond that, if we keep it on the Bills offense specifically, when we were looking at the offseason and something we really wanted to see from this Bills team, if we were to talk about them reaching their ceiling, it was the running back being a crucial part of the run game, not necessarily Josh Allen being Superman and putting on that cape, but them getting in the booth and deciding, no, we're going to run with the running back under center. We didn't really see that last week. There were 15 running back runs compared to 50 dropbacks from Josh Allen.
Are we surprised?
I mean, I can't say I am, because this is all we've ever seen from the squad. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, this is all we've seen. I mean, this is what we have seen. So the Raiders last week playing against Denver, granted it's week one, how much of it is opponent specific as opposed to this is the philosophy of this squad, and week two will start to unravel the layers of these onions. The Raiders spent so much time in the nickel spot. There were only two linebackers who played, and that was Robert Spillane and Divine Diablo. We'll get to them here in a second, but specifically because the Raiders like that nickel package, do you think that warrants the Bills to want to be able to run the ball with the running backs, especially considering the turnover-prone game that we saw just this last week from Josh Allen?
Yeah, for sure. I think so. I think so. And I think that's what they need to do. They need to implement that into their offense in general anyway. Regardless if they're playing the Raiders, it could be the Bengals, it could be the Chiefs,
the Jets,
it could be whatever it is, the Jets, it could be whatever team it is, bro. They need to start really putting the run game into their offense, because it will limit Josh Allen from really making mistakes. He's a gunslinger, so he's going to make mistakes. It's going to happen. I don't even really want him to really change his aggressive play. That's just who he is.
Right, exactly. Like, exactly. That's a good point, too.
That's just who he is. But if you want to be more elite on offense, in my opinion, in ours, Cover Zero opinion, it need to be where you're opening up another element in that offense. And in our opinion, it need to be the run game. I think everybody's opinion is the run game. You got James Cook, who you just drafted. You know, go ahead and utilize him, bro. You know, I mean, they rarely used him last week. And that was a close game. It wasn't like, oh, yeah, we're getting blown out. We gotta use the passing game. No, bro, you could use the run game to really, you know, suck the life out of that defense, you know, and confuse them, because they're thinking Josh Allen's going to be the one that's really
right.
going to take over the game. He's going to be the one running the rock. And that's what they got. They got exactly what they expected, the defense, the Jets defense, that is. So really running the rock is what's really important. And I think even for our squad, bro, I think, you know, because Denver has some success. Some success running against us, bro. They so did. If I'm Buffalo, that's what I'm trying to do from here on out, you know.
Yeah.
The speeches and all of that's cool. I want to bring up Brian Daboll. I do think him not being there is affecting his mechanics a little bit. You know, as a play caller was one thing, but he also helped Josh Allen as the quarterback, you know, with his mechanics. You know, he struggled with that in college. He had the big arm and all of that, but he wasn't that accurate, you know, and he's kind of falling right back into that now where he's still got the big arm, but he's not accurate all the time. More inconsistent than he is.
And even like some of the picks we saw on Monday, like
it's a clear, like, why do you even throw that? Why
exactly,
you even throw it, bro?
Exactly.
You
like
can
the
have
first Diggs, two.
You can have Jefferson, you can have Adams. Why even make that pass, bro? It mentally don't even make sense.
The first one that he chucked up to Deontay Hardy, the small quick guy they got from the Saints. Yeah. Like, bruh, that's double coverage with a smaller dude as Sauce Gardner and Jordan Whitehead. Like, what is even the thought here?
And I think because he's had a lot of success with doing that and wide receivers in the way and ain't caught the ball and he's had some accurate passes, he just feel like he'd throw it up at times.
Exactly. No.
That's a gunslinger mentality. That's why I don't think that will ever go away. But at the same time, having somebody like a Brian Daboll who was there, you know, he can get into your face. I think Brian Daboll is more of a Ken Dorsey. I don't really see him really, you know, approaching Josh Allen like that. Maybe he does.
Right.
Maybe he is. Maybe he has this week. I don't know. But Brian Daboll, it just seemed like when you see mistakes like that from Josh Allen, it changed a little bit the following week. You know, you didn't see it consistently. I mean, I just brought the stats, what we've seen over the last 19 games. And it hasn't been pretty.
Yeah. You know, the negative plays, the negative plays have just popped up a lot more. Like they're so much more repetitive than the Josh Allen type of plays that we saw the year they lost in the divisional round to the Chiefs when they had that 13 seconds left. That playoff run and towards the end of the season, Josh Allen, those negative plays like started to dissipate, and it seemed like the only thing that was keeping the Bills from getting past Kansas City was that 13 seconds, or was the Chiefs when they're at their full strength going to the Super Bowl when the Bills lost to them in the AFC title game. So something that I also want to pay attention to, you kind of touched on it earlier. We were talking about with the Bills looking to establish a designed running back run game. The Raiders, in fact, yes, did allow 4.5 yards a carry to that Denver backfield when it came to just the running backs, if you were to even take the scrambles away and that type of thing. So I want to see if that's going to be something that they lean into, because James Cook got, what was it, like 12 carries. Latavius Murray got 2. And they brought over Damian Harris, who only got 1. And Damian Harris is a mix-it-up between the tackles type of guy. And I want to see if that's something that they try to take advantage of for the Raiders as far as when they're going up against them. The last little part of the defense I want to really touch on would be two things. One, the linebacking core, Robert Spillane and Divine Diablo. Those two had a solid, solid showing, especially Diablo in coverage in that first game. Diablo in coverage was very, very good. Spillane, I want to say, he was all over the place. He was mixing it up. His presence was very felt. He was bringing the energy. Maybe only missed one tackle on the whole entire night, but was making a big impact. Those dudes were really, really active. I want to keep my eye on them. Max Crosby was Max Crosby. And the interior, there was a sack from Jerry Tillery. That was nice to see. And keep an eye, obviously, on the young man, Tyree Wilson, as he continues to develop coming in on the edge. So how do you think, just before we go over to the other side of the ball with the Raiders on the offense and the Bills on the defense, what are your expectations of how this Bills offensive line is going to treat Max Crosby?
Man, I'm tired of talking about the Bills, man. Give me some Raider questions.
How are they going to treat Max Crosby? Okay. Okay, how about this?
No. We can go into it. All right, so what was your question again? Say it again.
All right, how are the Bills going to deal with Max Crosby? Do they slide the line to him? Do they chip him? Do they let him try to work one-on-one? Do they think, Josh can deal with that type of pressure?
I think they do chip him a little bit. Max is a big dude, bro.
He is.
He's a big dude, and he's fast, and he's a hustler. You know,
and he don't come off the field. Iron Man.
That's what, yeah. So he's going to stay on the field. He's going to keep coming after Josh Allen no matter what, you know, whatever you bring at him. But, I mean, at least if you're chipping him, you're able to set him off a little bit, then it will give Josh Allen some time to really, you know, maneuver, go another route, another direction, be able to see it, you know. I think that would help out, you know. But I don't think you want to leave him one-on-one. I don't think you want to do anything like that. To me, that don't make too much sense. But, yeah, chipping him for sure, I think that's how you could really throw him off his game a little bit. Josh Allen's still going to be Josh Allen. I mean, if he's seen Max Crosby and he's, you know, trying to get that first down, he's going to go for it. He's not going to run out of bounds. He's not going to – that's Josh Allen for you. But Max is for sure going to go for it too. I mean, that's what he does. That's him. You know what I'm saying? He's going to have to take Josh Allen down. So,
yeah. And I don't think they have a lineman that can hold up against him. They don't have one dude that can hold up against him.
They can put Max on either side. Yeah, few teams do. They could put Max on either side. He's going to have success, bro.
You know,
that's what I'm saying. They got to either double team him or chip him.
Yep. Yeah. To move to the other side of the ball over here, let's look at when the Raiders have the ball and the Bills are on defense. We'll start with this Raiders run game. Josh Jacobs was recently signed after the holdout, so he was a presence last week, but his presence wasn't felt very much. Raiders rushing attack it sustained the offense, but it wasn't like a game-breaking part of it. There was not a single run that went beyond 8 yards last week from any other rushing attack from the Raiders. What are you expecting this week, considering that this Bills team, like the Raiders, they prefer that nickel personnel, those lighter bodies, no matter what type of personnel package you throw at it? Because if we look back to the Monday night game, when the Jets were in 13 personnel, salting away the lead on that final drive before Garrett Wilson made that absolutely, utterly insane, ridiculous catch on the goal line. I mean, they were out there in 13 personnel, three tight ends, heavy set, and the Bills were out there in the heavy nickel package, putting Taylor Rapp at the nickel rather than Teron Johnson, still just basically with two linebackers. So with all that said, long way to a short question, does the running game get going for this Raiders team?
It got to, bro. I think so. I think so for sure. And that's why we got a chance in this game, bro. I feel like the run game gets going in this. I feel like you got to look. When you look at last week, it wasn't just Denver playing well. Give them some credit, you know, whatever. But mainly, Josh Jacobs was rusty, bro. I mean, there was, to me, he actually looked a little heavy, too, in that game.
He kind of did look a little bit heavy.
He looked a little heavy a little bit.
He had a couple beers, you know what I mean?
Whatever. Yeah, hey, you know what I'm saying? So I think him getting his feet underneath him, you know, him having the ability to go against offense or a defensive line that really didn't do well at all. I mean, Bryce Hall, bro. I mean, Bryce Hall is solid, but he's not a Josh Jacobs.
Oh, Breece Hall.
Did I say Bryce? What did I say? Bryce Hall?
Bryce Hall.
Breece Hall.
Yeah.
He had 100 and now he didn't have no touchdowns, but I believe it was 127 yards off just 10 attempts, bro. 10 rushes.
One of them was like that huge, like he ripped off that 80-yarder.
80-yarder. He did, but still though, you know.
But he got
more yards he's got after that.
Yeah, he's got that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, bro. And it was throughout the whole game. It just wasn't one quarter. It was throughout the whole game. They was able to really run the ball, you know, on Buffalo like that. And I feel like, you know, the Raiders being a rushing team, that's what they try to do against Denver. It didn't work, you know, but I feel like it was more Josh Jacobs being more rusty than anything else. Denver do have a solid D-line.
And they stacked that box.
They did. They was prepared for it. But as you've seen, one thing I'll say with Josh Jacobs and the Raiders and that whole offense, the second half, Josh Jacobs started to look better. He started to look better. Some of those tackles that he was getting tackled in the first half, he was making them miss in the second half, the way that we normally see throughout the whole game.
Right.
We didn't see that the whole game in the Denver game. We've seen it just in the second half, and I'm expecting to really see that throughout the whole game in this Buffalo game here. So the running attack, I feel like it's going to be really, really big in this game. I feel like, you know, really being able to push them back. I think we have the right offensive line to do it. You know, these offensive linemen here, for the most
part, played well against Denver.
They played well, you know, but again, the running attack, the rushing attack, they didn't really do too well. But
yeah, the new lineman, what's his butt? The dude we brought over from Buffalo, He replaced Alex Bars, the right guard. Oh, damn it. I can't think of his
Bars
name right now.
Sorry, bro.
That's why he didn't even play. They bought over. Damn it. I can't even think of his name right now. But anyway, that guy, the right guard, when I watched all 22, he was at the point of attack, he was doing all right. He could not get to the second level to save his life.
Yeah. But see, and that's the thing. They got to – I feel like if they can – If everybody can get on the same level when it comes down to the Russian attack, they'll be all right.
Yeah.
Bars, one thing I will say about Bars, although I don't really care for him, his run blocking is solid. It's his pass protection.
Right.
That's trash, bro.
I don't know if he'll play because he didn't play last week.
Well, I'm just saying they didn't really. It was kind of in and out with that. I just feel like if the game plan, I feel like the game plan was to run it, but at the same time, they knew Josh Jacobs was his first game.
We saw that.
You know what I'm saying? I don't think they we want to run the ball, but if it's not working, we already got something lined up. We already know what we're going to do. I think this game here is going to be them really trying to run the ball.
To establish it more.
I think we'll see a lot more of Alex Bars in this game than we did last week, because that is one thing he is okay at, is run blocking. So, to your question, though, I do think Josh Jacobs is going to have a better game. I think the running attack is going to be huge in this game. Why not?
Okay.
You know, Buffalo wasn't able to really, stop the Jets, and Breece Hall. So, I think this is where they go with it on offense for the Raiders.
Okay. For the couple other points before we give our scores and our predictions, the running attack that we were talking about, that was a key. That's something that they wanted to establish. That's something that Jimmy G often always has, a run game behind him. He will use it. He likes to use it. That's just that's his MO. That's a lot of Josh McDaniels' MO. That's why the two of them are like this. And something that we also saw with the offensive lineman is using Thayer Munford as a sixth offensive lineman in a lot of the base sets. So rather than having a tight end in the out there, it would be Thayer Munford at the tight end position when we wanted to run out of base. So you got Thayer Munford, Jakob Johnson, and the 5-0 linemen with just, Josh, Jacoby, and Devontae out there working as a skill position player. To look at the injury front really quick for this Raiders offense, something to keep an eye on. Devontae Adams and Jacoby Myers were not participants in practice this week as we sit here record on a Thursday. Jacoby is still dealing with some of the concussion protocol stuff. He's in there. That's going to be something to monitor. So we'll have to go ahead and keep an eye on that. But the other area that I wanted to look at, again, before we give our prediction, Hunter Renfrow last week. A lot of Raider fans said, where's Hunter Renfrow? Where's Hunter Renfrow? Twitter was getting pretty active about that. And that's a good question. He only played 13 snaps last week. Hunter Renfrow ran a total of 9 routes in the whole entire game. And when I went back and I watched all 22, this man was open for a first down on one, and he was open for a touchdown on another. Granted, the Raiders got the win, and great. That's what all Raider fans, true Raider fans, want, respect and love. But as we start to take on these better teams, those type of things, leaving that type of meat on the bone, can tend to bite you in the back. And I think as we look at this game, yes, using the running attack, getting into the base personnel, making the Bills in their nickel package try to defend that type of running game will be very important. But if we want to match this Bills team on the scoreboard, to me, there's going to have to be more of an involvement from players like Hunter Renfrow. Not saying we just abandon it, go empty, and chuck it all around the yard, as much as I love that type of football. That's not this team. That is not how this squad is built. But when you do have someone like Hunter Renfrow who creates mismatches in the middle of the field, when you have the weapons like you do on the outside, I want to see more involvement, more usage from him in this game for the Raiders to be able to put up more points on the scoreboard. There's something that I've always wanted to see in the Josh McDaniels offense. Granted, Hunter was hurt for a part of it last year. We didn't get to see that because of injury. So we'll see if he tries to go to that well in week 2. What's your score? How do we get there?
Man, this one was tough for me, bro. You already know. I mean, my heart is choosing the squad. I'm going to go with I'm going to go with the squad, bro. I'm going to go with the Raiders, man. I'm going to go with the Raiders on this one. I'm going to say the defense really steps up on this one, man. That's what I think. I think the defense is really going to step up on this one. I think the pressure that we've seen in the last game versus Denver, we're going to see more of that in this one right here versus Buffalo. You know, we didn't get to see too much. We want to see more. You know, I know, like you brought up Tyree Wilson. You know, I brought up him standing up. We didn't get to see that at all. I don't know why they didn't, you know, they didn't even utilize that at all. They utilized it when we played the Cowboys in preseason game, but they should have really, really utilized it at least a little bit, you know.
I don't even feel like they put him in the wide nine a lot.
At all.
He was like in like a five to a six technique, which everybody listening, that's basically like just on the outside shoulder to tackle, which doesn't give him room. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, and he was just slow. His get off was slow.
Which was kind of like I was talking about. That's where, like, remember when we were doing everybody listening to our AFC West preview? That's where I was at with him. And when you put him in that alignment, that's what you get. But like Jay had brought up, which I was like, you know, a light bulb went off when you said that. Stand him up, put him at the wide nine, let him get a start, use that speed of power. Yeah. Saw none of that.
Yeah, we didn't see none of that, and that didn't make no sense to me. You know, I mean, I felt
I'm
like,
with you, man.
You know, if you've seen the success that you had in the preseason game, why not bring that into this game here? Regardless of preseason or not, why not bring it in?
You saw what he did on the rep when they made him do that.
That's what I'm saying. So give him – you want to build a rookie's confidence, that's the way you do it, you know, where he's comfortable at. So to me, that's what they should have did. Hopefully, maybe they use some of that in this game here, and, you know, we'll see how it goes. But so, yeah, I do think we're going to pressure Josh Allen a little bit more. I think the defense is going to be the ones that really, you know, lead us to a win in this one, man. So I got it a close game. Give me 26-23 Raiders.
Ooh, 26-23 Raiders. Okay. I couldn't do it, bro. I couldn't go with the squad here. I couldn't do it. It's week two, so of course it's on the table. Everything is on the table when it comes to week two. I mean, week one showed us many examples of anything happening.
Right.
But I just think that we're in a spot where we're going to see a quarterback such as Josh Allen and what his ceiling is going against a quarterback of what Jimmy G is when Jimmy G doesn't have a defense like he's used to having had in the past. Yeah, the Raider defense against the Broncos last week was solid. That was a really good 16 points. I mean, that's a tremendous 16 points per game is like what the best defenses in the NFL throughout the course of the season allow. But unfortunately, you don't get to play the Broncos every week. You know what I mean? So that type of thing exists. I fully expect this Bills team to put more up on the scoreboard and more than what the Jimmy G type of offense is going to be able to match. Right. That's where I ultimately land. And I think that the errors and the ills of what we saw from this safety group, and maybe even what we'll see from a guy like Marcus Peters, if they get Marcus Peters like matched up on Stephon Diggs on the outside and he starts really working those like the route tree out there in like an isolated situation, it's over.
Yeah.
Ja'Korian, I love what I saw, but like, I mean, you're a rook. That Stephon is one of the best in the biz at doing this. They will. We've seen this Bills team like just feed him the ball. And like you said, Josh Allen going to be Josh Allen. He's not going to be gun shy. He's not going to like pull it down and rear back. And like another thing, like you said, we don't want him to do that. If we were to be Bills fans, obviously we're Raider fans, so we would love to see it. If he got gun shy, he ain't going to do it. It's just not in his DNA. So I have the Bills winning this one. I think they actually put up a lot on the scoreboard in this one. I got Bills pulling this one out. Give me 30-20 Buffalo. Yeah. I mean, the Raider, there'll be some things to look good and some things to shine on. But I think coming out of, if you talk to Raider fans to start this year, 1-1 for Raider fans who have a solid sense, you know, on what this team is and what they will be. You can see 1-1, and overall, it's not your ideal dream or scenario, but you could see that being the way that we end up, and that's kind of where I fall. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. 20-30. Next, we are going to move to our game of the week. Let's go. Game of the week. Obviously, y'all know, listening, two Raider fans sitting here, if we cannot call the Raider game the game of the week, that lets y'all know that we are not biased in our heart of hearts, because, you know, we cover the whole league. Y'all been listening, y'all know. That game of the week is the 1-0 Baltimore Ravens going against the 0-1 Cincinnati Bengals. Despite the Bengals getting demolished by another AFC North opponent last week in the Browns, they come into this game favored by 3.5, over under, sitting at 46.5. We got to see the Ravens play against the Texans in week one. It was the first iteration and the first glimpse that we got at the Todd Monken offense. No more Greg Roman for the Ravens. Upon first glance, Jay, what were your takeaways from that squad?
I didn't really see too much. I didn't see too much. I think there's still some wrinkles. I think there's still some things where they're trying to work at with that offense. And that's what makes it scary, is because they was able to still put up 25 points without the offense really clicking on that level.
That's true. I mean, that
Lamar Jackson was still Lamar Jackson, you know. Well, the run game, including him, was still the run game. Him, you know, taking off and doing his thing. But that's what makes this offense scary, because I don't think the Bengals really know. They don't know what they're really going to bring, you know, the Ravens, that is. They don't really know what they're going to really bring on here, man. So to answer your question, I didn't really see too much. I wanted to see more. I really want to see more in the passing game. But, I mean, if we're being realistic, this is a new offensive coordinator. He just came over here to Baltimore. So, I mean, you know, to expect Lamar Jackson, the new wide receivers over there, Odell Beckham, a healthy Rashad Bateman, you know.
Zay Flowers, too,
Zay
yeah.
Zay Flowers, you know, who had a really good game,
He looked good, too, man.
He looked good, bro. Where was he ranked? Where was he ranked for you, bro?
He was in my top three when we finished.
Okay.
You know, QJ, remember when we started him off? I specifically remember when we started off our rankings, I wasn't like really feeling them when we would check in on our prospects. Then before the draft, I was like, bro, I finally did it. And at first, when I sent you my receiver rankings, you was like, hell yeah. But then you took that away because you was like, nah, you pulled Zay Johnson out of the top five.
Oh, was that what
you put? But I put Zay in the top three.
Oh, okay.
So well, it was like, something like. Yeah, you said, yeah, like, I don't know. He's like, I want to love it, but I can't.
Quentin.
Yeah. So I had my top three. I know JSN was my number one. I know Jackson Smith and Jigba was my number one. And I kept going back and forth on Jordan Addison and Zay Flowers at 2 and 3. So either way, he was top three. And QJ was like 5 or 6 for me.
Okay. Yeah. So I had number one, Zay number two. Zay balled. Well, I don't want to say he balled out, because he could do a lot more than that. But he played really, really
good. I'll say he balled out, man. They got him the
you
ball.
Think so?
He had
it. The reason why I say that is because imagine, because I don't think he had no touchdowns.
He didn't.
Touchdowns. Yeah, he didn't have no touchdowns. When I think of ball out, I'm thinking of 100-some yards, at least a touchdown.
Okay.
I put that, it that, like. That's why I look at it, when I say ball out for a wide receiver.
I got you. I mean, I was saying his debut. I think the Texans defense, I've said this on the show, I think the Texans defense, especially their secondary, I like their secondary a lot.
Yeah.
And to see what he did against them, like, he was the best wide receiver on the field for any team in that game. He was. In a game where we saw, like you said, that offense had some kinks to work out. Lamar looked like, no, I want to stay in this pocket. I want to get used to this offense. I want to. Like there was some things they had to work out. Mark Andrews wasn't there, the guy who he has the most chemistry with by far. That wasn't there. But what we saw was Zay. When Zay got the ball, there was one play in particular where I realized, like, oh, okay. Zay's here. They threw like a little bubble screen from like the inner slot area. You had like three receivers here. Zay caught it, like the ball came this way, and he, you know, tried to go take off after the catch. He caught that ball, got north. One dude came, whoop, immediate spin move, miss. Another dude came, stopped, whoop, miss. Like, just boom, boom, two dudes missing, just like that. That's what we saw on the field, that type of bounce, that type of movement. He just has a different gear, a different level of control. And to see that on the field and to see a 9-catch, I want to say it was, basically 80-yard day, be like the focal point of an offense through the air, I thought he balled out. I thought he looked really good. And I know people who I had talked about him with as people when I came around, like, I see too much speed. I see too much bounce and stuff like that to be able to.
But he was a good route runner. Yeah, that's the thing, though. I mean, yeah, you're right. He does have a lot of bounce. He has a lot of speed and stuff like that. But when you have a lot of speed and you have a lot of bounce, you can run routes. To me, that's what separates. Sometimes we see speed and we just got done talking about our team, but our Raider team was like that, where we would draft a lot of speedy guys but couldn't really run routes.
Darius Hayward Bay.
There it is, bro.
Yep.
Zay Flowers is not that dude, man. We've seen in the last game. So this game here, you're just unsure, man. I didn't see it in the last game as far as the whole offense. We got to see some good things from Zay Flowers. I want to see more from Lamar Jackson throwing the ball.
Yes.
Still haven't seen that. I want to see that. You know, and I want to see Odell Beckham get involved more. You know, there's Raven fans out there that wanted a solid veteran wide receiver to come to the squad and really, you know, really make some noise here. You got somebody here. You got somebody here where, I mean, yeah, he's coming off an injury.
Took him time. That's what I wonder is, like, what does he have?
I know, but I feel like, you know, he came off injury before and he played well.
But he's getting up there in age.
He is. He's getting up there in age. But I don't know. I just feel like this is the offense for him, man. He's not going to have to be the vocal point. You know, they got other weapons out there. They got Lamar Jackson there. So he's not – he don't have to be wide receiver number one.
Like he don't.
Over there, you know, and the other teams.
He don't. You know. And I think the thing with it, too, when I went back and I watched this film, the couple of takeaways that I had from this Monken offense, one is that they did use the 11 personnel packages more than Greg Roman did, a lot. And I want to see if that changes, especially once you get Mark Andrews back, who's expected to play this week. He didn't play last week, as I was previously mentioning. And the thing with Zay and OBJ, when that's kind of surprised me a little bit, that kind of goes to what you're saying. When they were in two receiver sets, it was OBJ and Zay Flowers, not Rashad Bateman, which that kind of surprised me. I figure, especially like in a game where Lamar doesn't have the guy that he has the chemistry with, there's another guy out there who has been on the team, although injured, in Rashad Bateman. And Bateman was like the third receiver in. Like, Bateman and Nelson Aguilar were pretty closely like matched in terms of how often they were on the field. So, I mean, the offense to me was good-ish. The one thing that I remember watching the All-22, I was like, hey, there's checkdowns. Hey, Lamar got a check down. Like there's a check down built into the offense. Greg Roman used to not do that. He used to say Lamar is the check down. Like, bro, just put one other person in the flat.
Well, he really did. I mean, I think the reason, give Greg Roman a little bit of love, just a little bit of love. And the reason why I say that is because he really tried to make the offense. I don't want to go too far into this, but he just tried to make the offense really all about Lamar Jackson.
He did, but you got
to
give
him. You have to stretch it. You have to make it more about the whole offense and not just quarterback. So I get it. I would have let him go, too. I mean, because you want to expand, and Lamar wasn't expand. The whole offense really wasn't expanding that way. But that's what he tried to do. He tried to
I will give Greg Roman credit all day in how he designed that run game with Lamar. I will give him all the credit for that. That was beautiful.
For sure. That's what he did with Kaepernick. Same deal.
Yeah, a quarterback design run game with the blocking schemes, the stuff he did, his use of like counterback. I mean, I'm not going to get into all that minutia, but where he always said Lamar is my checkdown. I can't. Anyway, to get back to the game at hand here, O-line health is a part that I want to look at for this offense of this Ravens game. Tyler Linderbaum, their center, the very up and coming player, something to monitor. He did not practice on Thursday. Ronnie Stanley, who has dealt with injuries for the last several years, he came out. He did not practice Thursday. That's going to be something to go ahead and monitor. And, I mean, there were only – I want to continue to see this offense expand. I want to continue to see this offense have another week, kind of see what they're like in game action. It was the Texans, and we'll see what they go ahead and deploy. There were only two big plays all afternoon from this offense. There were only two plays that went 20 yards or more. And I want to see if Lamar really specifically, I want to see if he looks to get out of the pocket more than he did in this particular game. There was a lot of his rushing attempts came off of scrambles. And if we were to look at the other side of the ball for the Bengals team, when they played against the Browns last week, Deshaun Watson scampered a few times. He had two design runs from the quarterback area that netted him 26 yards, and he had four scrambles that netted him 19 yards. So if this Bengals team surrendered that to Deshaun Watson, and Lamar looks to tap into more of what his actual, you know, what the marrow in his bones are as an NFL player, I think there's some success there. So to swing it over to the other side of the ball to you as well, we look at this Bengals defense going against this Ravens offense. What are your expectations?
I mean, with the, like you brought up, like the hurt offensive line that they're coming into, you know, if these players are not going to play, it's concerning because Lamar Jackson got sacked four times last game, bro. You know, and you're going against a D-line right now, to me, is way better than the Texans D-line. So,
yeah.
I mean, that to me is concerning alone because it starts in the trenches. You know, so I'm expecting that D-line to play a lot better. I'm expecting the whole defense to play better. You've seen how they played last week, you know, against the Browns. They was upset about that. You know, Lou was saying, you know, our guy that we're pro Lou here, you know.
Big Lou fans.
Yeah, we've heard him, you know, this past week, bro. He felt good on how the defense really did. At least that's what he said. But I don't think he really felt that strong. Because what the Browns did last week was not something that you would normally see from, you know, offense going against a Bengals defense. You know, you won't see that. You know, Lou with his disguises, his blitzes, you know, you just don't see that too often. You know, teams take advantage of that. And Watson, right, somebody who we're expecting to play better this year, I don't think we thought that he would have a game like he had versus that Bengals defense in week one. Maybe, you know, later on down the line, whatever, but not early into the season. Mm-hmm. So Lou's going to be after it, man. He's going to be after it. Granted, too, Lamar don't really lose to the Bengals. That's another thing, too. I mean, he hasn't really lost to the Bengals like that, bro. So I think Lou's really going to be after it, man. I think he's really going to be after it. They don't want to go down 0-2. That's another thing, too. Mm-hmm. I think it's in Cincinnati. Is it in Cincinnati? I think it's in Cincinnati. It's in Cincinnati too, bro. So I just think, you know, this is going to be a tough outing for the Ravens offense, but I still think that's what makes this the game of the week, because on one hand, for the Ravens, you look at it like, okay, what are they going to do on offense? They didn't really show. They tried to show what they wanted to show versus the Texans, and maybe they didn't. I don't know, but we didn't see too much. So it's still question marks on that offense.
Yeah, right.
The Bengals, you know what the Bengals are going to do. The Ravens know what the Bengals want to do on defense. They know what the Bengals want to do on defense.
Do they, though?
Oh, they go. I think they do. Yeah,
I feel like, because I feel like that's what makes Lou so good, is that he doesn't have.
They played him. It's a rival game, though, bro.
It is a rival game. You're right.
So but they've I think seen makes, him more than any other team outside seen, of.
Yeah, you know, yeah, I feel like that. But I feel like, I wonder if, because they have a new coordinator, what differences are there in this Ravens offense that Lou is going to do differently in his defense? Because something that I've always wanted to pay attention to this year with this Bengals defense, my only question for them was that safety position. Because Jesse Bates is in Atlanta. Von Bell is in Carolina. We now have Dax Hill starting at the free safety spot. And we now have Nick Scott, who was, I think, a backup for them last year, starting at the strong safety spot. And in week one, we had Dax Hill play well and Nick Scott play bad. He had his
issues. He's okay.
In deep coverages. Then that's when they shifted Dax. No, you play in deep specifically. Anyway, but that's kind of what I wonder. Like, you're right. You're right in the sense that they have seen what Lou is. They've seen his hand on how he wants to strategically attack them. But Lou always seems to have, you've seen this, you've seen me do this, and now I'm going to do that type of thing. you know.
Right, right. I get what you're saying for sure. But when it comes down to a rival and they're in the same division, I don't think he's really going to show anything different from what – I mean, he will in a sense because it's
he'll
coordinator.
A couple.
But then again, what can he really – he don't know. Nobody really knows what Todd is really going to do, bro. Nobody really I think when it comes down to the second game, then he'll have a sense. Okay.
Yeah. Or if he even sees them in the playoffs.
In the playoffs or a few games after they play, you know.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So I think really I think too, that's why I kind of think we didn't see a lot of the Lamar design run game in the Texans game. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if that's something he kind of goes into more of in this game. Because it's built in there for him to take that option, but he kind of wanted to work it out through the pass. But anyway, yeah.
I want to see the pass, bro. I'm going to be honest with you.
We all do. But at like some point, like Lamar, bro, like these dudes kind of can't hold you in the run game to a certain extent. Like, you know, so it's that tit for tat. It's that thin line. You know what I mean? It's that thin line. And we'll go ahead and see how he walks it.
Real quick, once he opens that up, once Todd Monken and once Lamar Jackson, they open that offense, that part of the offense up where, I mean, he is distributing the ball from left to right. Zay Flowers, sure. Rashad Bateman, if he's healthy.
Andrews over the middle. Odell on deep
Andrews over the middle, that's a given. I mean, that's just, don't matter who's offense coordinator, that's coming.
That's happening.
But Zay Flowers and Odell Beckham, when we start seeing that, Lamar Jackson could be the best QB in the league. The
sky's the limit, man. We could be looking at another MVP season. We'll see what the offensive line injuries have to play into that. Now, to go to the other side of the ball, to keep it on the injury front just for a little bit, we got to look in the back end. Marcus Williams, their free safety, he was on the injury report. Marlon Humphrey, also, both of those guys did not practice, two of their best players in the secondary. Now, last week against the Texans, I did like some of the pressure packages that we saw from Mike McDonald, the defensive coordinator for the Ravens. He did a lot of different creepers, had some cool fire zone stuff, and it just looked weird seeing Roquan Smith in number zero. I'm just going to say that right now. Like, that just looked weird.
Yeah, a lot of these numbers do, bro.
Like,
hey, but you know what I like real quick with number zero?
Yeah, no, wait.
My guy, that the two bullshit calls that shouldn't have been called on, Jacorian Bennett. Number zero on a corner, I love it, bro. If you could live up to that, no interceptions, no fly zone type deal, I love it, bro.
I like it in a secondary. Who was the player when I was watching the All-22?
Somebody else got it, too. Yeah,
I was watching All-22 Rams Seahawks, Russ Yeast, mostly just because of his name. Yeah, yeah. His name is Russ Yeast.
You talked about it before.
I just like his name is so fun to say. And, like, he's actually, like, he played well in that season. I was like, and he's number zero?
I'm sleeping, bro. Yeah.
Let's go. Like, you're like, okay. But, yeah, anyway. But, yeah, no, the numbers are kind of, yeah, it's, but to get back to
it. I get
to,
it,
like,
though, for it. Yeah.
Yeah. It looked odd. But, like, to get back to it, though, I do like what I saw from, like, a design perspective. And I guess my question that leads and bleeds into this game here with the Bengals is, does Mike McDonald go ahead and go back into that exotic stuff, or was that something that he was just throwing at a rookie quarterback because they were playing CJ Stroud? You know what I mean? That's kind of something I'm wondering and I want to pay attention to. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a good one. Yeah. That's a good point.
So, but yeah, the depleted secondary is definitely going to be something that's very, very notable, especially when we look on the other side of the ball, when the Bengals are on offense here. Joe Burrow in week one, a lot of people who started this man in fantasy and a lot of people who started any of these Bengals skill players in fantasy, including myself, I got shares of Jamar Chase and T. Higgins in fantasy, are very frustrated.
Let y'all
Joe Burrow
down,
in week
man.
One. Yeah, they were your what's going on, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
When Joe Burrow's going 14 of 31 for 82 yards and T. Higgins got 7 targets and no grabs. Like, I mean, we already went there with the what's going on. We don't need to ask that question anymore. And the question that I want to ask you right now for this week, not what's going on, but what will go down when this team plays, when you look at this offense from the Bengals when they take on the Ravens.
I think the offense is going to play better. I definitely think the offense is going to play better in this game, bro. You know, I really feel, I do think I'm still questionable with that offensive line for the Bengals. I mean, it just seemed like an ongoing thing every year.
Especially with the bro, with the way the Browns manhandled their ass.
Well, I do feel like the Browns was on edge because of what the wide receivers were saying. You know, Miles.
And I do think the Browns got dudes this year.
That dude, what you mean? I mean,
this,
you know,
I feel like this Browns D line right now.
D line, okay.
Yeah, the Browns D line. I feel like right now, like you got Za'Darius, you got Garrett, you got Tomlinson. You got Okonkwo, like Myles Garrett. I feel like on the defensive line,
he's
with Jim Schwartz dialing up these pressure packages, I feel like Garrett's never really had that type of complimentary pieces to go after the quarterback. We saw Myles Garrett, bro, lined up over the center, play like lined up over.
He was everywhere on that D line.
And that's was huge.
That's a great point. That's a really, really great point, bro. And Jim Schwartz that you brought up. Bringing him up and allowing him to line up all over to trust his defensive line men to do that on left side, right side, up the middle, up to the center. That's a great point, bro. And he did that in that game, bro. So mm-hmm. that's a good point. That's a really good point. I feel like they had a couple dudes. I know when you said that, I was thinking like, well, hold on, they got my boy Denzel Ward over there. They got a couple guys.
Oh, and they got my boy JOK. Both of my boys, Denzel. I'm a Greg Newsome fan. I hear you.
Yeah. But you're right though. A different defensive coordinator, different scheme packages, different blitz packages, different pressure, which is the same thing, whatever packages and whatnot. I feel like that is really what makes this defense go with the Browns and. Although that happened, I still feel like it was because of the fire that Ja'Marr Chase lit up as far as talking the wide receivers, him. It was mainly him, I think. I don't think it was anybody.
Yeah, I want to say it was him. Mainly calling him. Them elves.
Yeah, bro. That really fired up that defense, bro. And I really felt like they played on a whole nother level. Now, are they going to have a drop off? No, I think they're going to play pretty solid. I think they're going to be a pretty good defense, but I just feel like that trash talk really fired them up on a whole nother level, which is good for their end. But I feel like the Bengals offense really wasn't ready for that. I think they felt like, oh yeah, we're gonna be ourselves. We ain't really tripping off them. They L's.
Well, they did. And I think the thing too, man, is this too. This other component before we get to our scores, right? The question, and this is also a question I have for Mike McDonald when we get into this game. And Joe Burrow last season was blitzed the least amount of any quarterback in the NFL. He was only blitzed 15% of the time in 2022. The freaking Cleveland Browns blitzed this man over 40% of the plays. They were sending five. They were sending six. And they didn't care. And I don't think that was something that they expected. Right. So as we're to get to into our scores for this game, Ravens, Bengals, who you got winning? And how do they get that victory?
I got the Ravens, man.
Okay.
Ravens. Because I'm still, as much as we talk about Luan here, he don't know what this offense is going to bring, bro. He don't know. And they know. They know what he's going to bring.
Bro, are you going to be Sunday? I'm going to be like, what's going on? You don't have faith in our boy Lou? Like,
I'm just saying, bro.
No, I got you.
I guess in some aspect too is that I'm a believer in Lamar. And I feel like.
Me too. We pro Lamar on Cover Zero.
We're pro Lamar. And I just feel like, you know, the having the better weapons that he has. I like we both like Zay Flowers. He was number two on my list. He was number three on yours. We're big fans. They got a new offensive coordinator over there. The other guy that we were
Monken.
I just feel like Lou don't know what he's going to bring, bro. And I feel like Lamar's record versus the Bengals is good. That's the crazy thing, bro. Like we talking like if Lamar even with Greg Roman, he doesn't lose versus the Bengals.
Okay.
All right. He has better weapons. The offensive line is hurt, so So that concerns
me. Their two best O-linemen are hurt. Yep.
That's huge.
And then I feel like also their two best secondary dudes are hurt.
Yeah, Marlon Humphrey.
Marlon and Marcus Williams.
But they're playing though, right? I think
no. Well, they weren't at practice on Thursday.
Oh, they ain't playing.
There's a chance they could. We'll have to see. I think it's set that Ronnie and Linderbaum don't play. We all know Dobbins isn't playing. So, sad.
That was my guy. You know how much I spoke about him on the SS?
Oh, man. When he came out, he was out of Ohio State.
That was running back number one for me.
That was your RB1.
That was RB1.
I had Taylor over him. He was my RB2, though.
Okay. Yeah. Jonathan. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, no, like, it's, and it just, the thing that's so, it just sucks because we could never see him so far, like, even. Like, become what he will be, whether or not he comes to what we would think he would be. It's just not going to happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the sad thing with injuries, man. It's just, you can't just ever see, like, the dude be what. Anyway, we don't got to get into that, everybody.
Yeah. Sure.
What's your score?
24-20, bro.
24-20. I got the Bengals, man. We split again. We split every. We
at
don't
least
plan,
one.
We don't,
not one. We normally agree, but I think it's
so far. I think last week we split on the split on Steelers two. and the Niners. Shit! What idiot, bro? What idiot picked
you
the
know
Steelers
what's crazy?
Last week?
You know what's crazy? When you go against them, you look crazy. When you say Mike Thomas gonna have a losing record, we ain't gonna get into that. But then when you choose them to win, you look crazy.
Yeah, bro. Like, I should just stay away from any Steelers, anything. I'd be like, yeah, they going to tie. No, but I got the Bengals. I got the Bengals this week.